Amen. Today we're going to continue our journey. Our journey to Christmas, our journey to the star. In the last few weeks, we have been coming from a series of what that star represents, the same star that guided the wise men, the same star that was amazing from the east, is the same star that represented and pointed people to Jesus Christ. In the previous weeks, we have dealt with the star leads to hope and the star leads to love. And today we're going to deal with the star leads to joy. And we're coming from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading from the first verse. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The key point for this message comes from that 10th verse. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Again, the topic, the star leads to joy. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just blessing us with another day, Father. We thank you, Lord, for another day to sing your praises. Father, as I stand here to share your gospel, Father, be with me. And Lord, I pray that what I say today goes to the heart, Lord. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's several television shows that on now this season where people are decorating their houses and they're going to these various neighborhoods. And you see the elaborate displays that people put in to the decorations. And some of them, you know, just make you go, just have a sense of awe that somebody would do all of that. And it brings great joy to the eyes. But what are we really celebrating? Do we put that much effort into celebrating Christ during the season? There are two television shows I watch every Christmas season because they have a message of hope and a message of Christ. One is Charlie Brown's Christmas Special.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been watching that since I was a boy. And I watch it like I've seen it over and over again. Sometimes Sybil will say, you know what's going to happen, but, you know, still the joy in watching it all over again. And the other one is the movie, old Jimmy Stewart movie, A Wonderful Life, which has an uplifting message for the season. But what strikes me about Charlie Brown's Christmas is that everybody is preparing for Christmas and they forget the real meaning of Christmas. Sometimes in our preparation, we can forget the real meaning. You know, in the program, they are preparing for the Christmas play. And Charlie Brown's directing, of course, and he gets no love in his directorial efforts. But one of his tasks, he needs to find a prop, and that is a Christmas tree. So he and his friends go to the Christmas tree lot, and all these nice trees are there. But he gets the smallest, thinnest tree he could find, and he buys it. On the night of the play, he brings the tree back, and it's a little scrawny tree, and they put an ornament on it, and the tree kind of falls over. It bends. The cast look at him and say, "Charlie Brown, can't you get anything right?" Charlie Brown, you know, just shouts and says, "Does anybody know the real meaning of Christmas?"
That's right.
And a little boy Linus comes up. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the middle of the stage and the lights dim around him. He says, "I do, Charlie Brown." And then he proceeds to read, starting at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And once he finishes, he says, "That's the real meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown." Every now and then, we need to be reminded of the real meaning of Christmas, the real meaning of the source of our joy. And as he reads this, as we look at this text today, there are several things in this text that will bring us joy. The first one is that the Messiah was proclaimed by the angel. Yeah. That should bring us great joy. In verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." You know, the job of a shepherd was not a glamorous job. They had to work all the time. They made sure they were awake while the sheep were sleeping, so they would make sure that none would wander away. They had to protect the sheep from predators that were lurking on the outside looking for an easy meal. They were constantly counting the sheep and brought the wandering sheep back into the fold, even if they had to put them on their shoulders and carry them. Isn't this like Jesus? Isn't this like Jesus? Doesn't he watch over us when we are asleep? Doesn't he make sure that predators do not attack us? Doesn't he make sure that we are constantly counted and where we are supposed to be? And when we fall short, doesn't he carry us? Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and they shall gently lead them that are with young. Jesus is the good shepherd. So the angel came to these shepherds who were doing their job and watching over the flock at night. And in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Wouldn't we be kind of afraid if we saw an angel while we were outside looking at sheep? They were afraid. The angel of the Lord came upon them. And in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, I want to look back at that verse 9, because if you think about it, of all the people in the world, that God could have chosen to witness the birth of Christ, the Savior, would it have been the shepherds? Would we have chosen the shepherds to go to first? They were afraid because they did not know what was going on. They might have been afraid because they were unworthy of being in the presence of an angel. They were afraid. But the angel was not there to pronounce judgment on them. The angel was there to bring them good news. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people." Good news of great joy. Isn't it interesting again that the shepherds were the one? Have you ever thought about that? Why the shepherds? Why didn't the angel appear to the priest and to the scribes? Why didn't the angel appear to royalty? Why didn't the angel appear to important people? The shepherds were considered unclean because they hung out with sheep. Do you know anybody who spent their whole career working around animals every day? You know, no matter how much they wash, you can still smell a little bit of animal. It was the same for the shepherds. They tended to isolate themselves, hang around their own, hang around the sheep. They were unclean. Their work kept them from regularly attending services at the temple for weeks at a time. So why would the angel appear to them? I think we can find joy that God has no respect of persons. We can find joy that he didn't go to royalty. We can find joy that he didn't go to the people we would go to first to share this good news. We can find joy that God revealed his grace towards all mankind by visiting the lowly shepherds. And the angel, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." In other words, I'm bringing you a message that you can be happy about. I am not here to bring judgment. I am not here to bring sad news, bad news, anything but glad news. I am here to bring you good tidings of great joy. And guess what? We can be joyful because this message was not for a select few. But look at what the word says, which is shall be to all people. And in verse 11, he shares what the good news is. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This day is born the Redeemer. That has been long promised. This day is born the person that Isaiah talked about. On this day is born the Messiah that the prophets talked about. On this day is born the Messiah that the people of Israel had been looking forward to for so long. But they had no clue he would be born in a manger. They had no clue he'd come from lowly stock. That's the beauty of God. He can take anybody and use them for his purpose. Even if it is an unmarried couple named Joseph and Mary. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." The city of David is Bethlehem. A Savior. A savior, by definition, is a person who rescues another from harm, danger, or loss. I got to believe that was good news, because that's the real gift that keeps on giving. Even today, we have this same savior who rescues us from harm, danger, or loss. My brothers and sisters, we can find joy because prophecy was fulfilled through the birth of Jesus Christ. We can find joy in the fact that Jesus is born. Jesus is like us and walked among us, but is still God's son. And the angel wouldn't leave the shepherds without a sign. Look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A sign is something that indicates or points something out. Here it is, an indicator that the promise of salvation in the good news about the birth of a Messiah is true. The sign had two aspects to it. Number one, the baby will be in all appearance an ordinary newborn baby. So that sign, one sign that God is with us, is the appearance of a human baby. The second one, that it will be lying in a manger. It will be lying in a feed box. It would be lying, if we get real with contemporary terminology, in the slop bucket. Anybody here been raised around pigs? You know, you take that bucket, that stuff that you don't eat, that waste, you pour it in there, and they'll eat anything. So that's what Jesus was lying in. A manger, a feed box, is where the Savior for the whole world came in his humble beginning. We can have joy because I believe God is still sending signs to us today. God is letting all men and women know that you can't come to me except you go through my son. For my son came to redeem the world back to himself. And then in verse 13, as if one angel was not good enough, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. This angel had a choir. Amen. These other angels just appeared and supported what the angel had said. A multitude of heavenly hosts. What were they doing? Praising God. You know what? According to Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, the witness of two or three is confirmation of a fact. If you want to know if something's true, you need some witnesses. So it wasn't just one angel, but it was a host of angels. Now, I didn't dig deep enough in my study to figure out how many is a host. But I know that's a whole lot. So we'll just leave it like that. So they praised God. And here's what they were saying in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The angel saying this, peace, goodwill towards men. Jesus Christ was God's gift of peace and goodwill to sinners, to unsaved people who had no access to God because they weren't good enough to be in the presence of God. They could not live up to God's expectations. So therefore, we can have peace. God was in Christ, and Christ was reconciling the world back to the Father. Through the gospel of Christ, God assures us that he has goodwill towards us. Not everybody who comes to you has goodwill, especially if they come to you at night. But this was a good visitation, a nighttime visitation. The peace was established through the cross of Christ. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feed box, the sign of peace and goodwill from God for all people. There is no better way to celebrate these glad tidings than to receive Christ by faith and add our voices to the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. We can find joy in the fact that God is the highest. There is nobody else above him. There is nobody else that can do what he does, has done for us. We can find joy that Christ brought peace for all mankind. Peace. At this time that Christ was born, the region had been celebrating on peace. They were subjects of the Roman Empire. And there was a long period of peace. That means a long period without warfare. There was something called the Pax Romana, which was the peace of Rome. They were enjoying that. But no matter how much peace is in the government, somebody is still going to be persecuted. No matter how much peace you have around you, there is somebody who is still not going to feel accepted. No matter how much peace we like to think we have, there are still some others on the outside who are not enjoying that peace. But that's where Christ stepped in, so that we can have peace in the midst of our circumstances. So we can be like Sister Eileen that say, not everything's working like it used to work, but I thank God that I'm still here. I have peace. We can have joy because Christ represents goodwill to all who accepts him. Goodwill to all who accepts him. That's the good news. Because we have a message of great tidings and joy. Joy to all mankind. So as we prepare to celebrate this season, we want to remind each other to remember to celebrate Jesus Christ. And I looked and I jotted down some thoughts on this celebration. And my question, as we watch the frenzy that happens from a day designated as Black Friday until 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, as we look and see flyers and emails that say you have 5 shopping days to receive your package in time for Christmas, I asked ourselves, are we celebrating the right thing? Are we celebrating the Christmas of Santa, of all-night shopping, online shopping, all-night baking? Or are we being, as Joshua said, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord? Are we celebrating Christ when we've got parents scraping together $200 to buy some sneakers when they should be investing in Hooked on Phonics or something else? We've got families that will stand in line for hours to get a picture with Santa Claus and start squirming in their seats if the sermon lasts more than 20 minutes. We got people who will be at the store when it opens so they can get that 4K 60-inch television for $398, but they can't get to church before the offering. We've got people who will spend 6 months planning for the perfect gift, but won't spend 6 minutes reading about the gift of God in the work of God. instead of spending so much time focusing on the material, when was the last time we focused on the hungry? How was the last time we focused on the naked? When was the last time we focused on the homeless? When was the last time we did that? Are we ready to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas and find joy in that? I am not saying there's anything wrong with shopping, because I have done my share. But I have my priorities, amen, in order. My father-in-law used to tell this story about a boy named Johnny. And Johnny was having a party. And everybody was in the house, finger popping, dancing to the music, celebrating Johnny's birthday. And they were so oblivious to the fact that Johnny wasn't even there. A knock came on the door. Somebody opened the door, and it was Johnny at the door. He said, "Y'all started without me." And I got to wonder, is this how Jesus feels sometimes about us? Are we starting the party without him? Yeah, I remember back in the day, you would go to a party, wouldn't even know whose party it was. But all you heard was somebody was having a party. Said, "Let's go." "Do you know the person?" "No, I don't." "But they're having a party. They're having a party." Jesus had a party in the manger in Bethlehem long time ago. And the party was a sign to announce to all men that Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise to bring a Savior, of God's promise to redeem the people back to himself, God's promise to send the Messiah, God's promise to send a deliverer. The problem was the people had formed their own opinion of what a Messiah is. They had formed their own opinion of what a conqueror is. They had formed their own opinion. All we have to do is go back to 1 Samuel when Saul was anointed king, the first king of Israel. And the people looked around and looked at Saul and said, "He looks like a king. He looks good. He looks like he can command the presence of the military. Let's make him king." These people weren't around the manger. They were at another party this time. They were getting ready to celebrate the Passover. Amen. They were totally oblivious that Christ had come. Matthew 2 tells us that the wise men came from the east and came to the king and said, "We've seen the star that points towards the birth of the King of the Jews." The party had started, but they didn't know that it was about Christ. So as we get ready to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas and all of our gift giving and all of our gift planning and all of our meal preparation and all of our miles traveled for some of us and all of our eggnog drinking, fruitcake eating, celebrating, let us remember the real meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ. And I will leave you with the song, "God Rest Thee, Merry, Merry Gentlemen." And I will spare you and not sing it, but we'll simply read the lyrics. "God rest ye, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy." Thank you. "Tidings of comfort and joy. God rest ye, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from all Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. In Bethlehem in Israel, this blessed babe was born and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn. The which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Fear not, then, said the angel. Let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. The star leads to joy. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.